This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, happy... What did I call it? Pre-Action Monday. I already forgot. That's crazy. We are quickly move towards kickoff on Monday Night Football. That'll be after, or that'll be like after 7, just after 7 right here on Sports Radio 610 with Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware, and John Harris. I don't know what happened in the last segment. I swear I was just coherent a second ago, and all of a sudden my brain...
I've been coherent.
It's been good. It's been a really fun show thus far. We've been having a blast. I'm excited for this football game because it feels like the Texans should handle up their business against the Cowboys and get back to winning ways after losing a couple back-to-back. And so let's talk about the ways that that'll happen, or maybe the things that would possibly make them not. And a little Texans win because, Texans lose because, and you guys are already getting going with the shenanigans, which it feels like there's a lot of shenanigans to be had in this one in particular. 832 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line said, Texans win because Bobby Slowick. Texans lose because Bobby Slowick.
That's which, fair.
All right. Okay.
That's fair.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, man. It really is. I think, look, and we were talking about, are you a little... you're a little worried, and we kind of agreed, at least in this room, yes, when it comes to the offense and Bobby Slowick. But let's be real here. The Texans, let's get really real here. Can we talk?
All right, Tevin Campbell, I see you.
Can we talk? Texans win because the Cowboys are awful. I mean, let's not try to be cute about it. I can't believe how bad they are.
It's not good.
I'm not exaggerating. They cannot run, and they cannot pass. Those seem to be relatively important things in the NFL.
They'd be good. Yes.
Yes.
Texans win because they should, in addition to being better, like in the regular run of play, they should also win the turnover differential. This is a Texas team that is obviously positive in the turnover differential, and we're seeing the capabilities of this defense to turn the football over, whether it's, the pass rush getting in there and, getting their hand on the football with a quarterback who, mind you, is not mobile in this one and, can be a little slow with the football at times. And then also, shout out to Kalen Bullock, because I was about to say Kalen Carson, who plays for the Cowboys.
Uh-oh.
There's a lot of Kalens in this one. Kalen is becoming a real popular name.
Yeah, it is.
It's not quite a Jalen, but it's a Jalen offshoot.
Yeah, it is.
So, but Kalen Bullock, his ball hawk nature and the ways that this team is, kind of picked off the football. I think that there should be some turnovers as well that give and that additionally add to the Texans, possessions. And if you have that with the football a lot of times, it really should be just mowing the Cowboys down, in my opinion.
Cooper Rush threw for 45 yards in his last game.
That's the whole sentence?
That's it.
Oh, very
45
good.
Yards passing. That's bad. That's what you want Nico Collins to get on one play, maybe the first play, if they go over the top again.
Yeah, Nico Collins really could eat that up in a play.
Yeah, he could.
He could eat that up in half a play.
Easily. Easily do it. Texans win because Texans lose because I think that texter was right. If it's just another bad Bobby Slowick day,
I don't even think lose behind that.
Yeah, maybe not.
Now somebody mentioned Texans win because the Cowboys are ass. Texans lose because the offensive line is also ass. I think that leans into one of the things that is interesting within this game is and the few guys that can actually do something that really terrify you or scare you on that Cowboys team. And his name is Micah Parsons, right? CJ's homeboy. Within this game. And I think it's not just because he can rush, but because they like moving him around and he can rush from a lot of different places, especially that A-gap. And that's the one thing I'm worried about is what happens when they move him around. I don't know how worried I am about the rest of their defensive line in general, although I will say, when you look at the statistics, that is a that is a pass rush that surprisingly gets a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
When it comes to the pressure rates on the season. So they do enough of that to get some pressure, which doesn't bode well, as we know, for this offensive line, who has not really pass protected all that great. But I think they are seventh in quarterback pressure rate. So they actually get a decent amount of pressure. And so, you know, is that then going to show up? And is that going to, you know, push CJ into a place where he is similar to where he had been? But then I go back to Nico Collins is on the field.
Yeah.
And you have this offensive line configuration that was at least better at picking up some of those things with the pass protection. It's just, are they going
to
be able to run?
If I squint my eyes and try to really reach for something that could be a problem for the Texans, that would be one of them. And not just that, offensive line giving up pressures, but, you know, the offensive line has had some issues with penalties. The offensive line had issues last time out with the run game. So if there's a combination of
somehow
penalties and run game problems and giving up some pressures, no, that to me, that's probably the most legitimate way that the Texans could mess up this game, you know, is because the offensive line, again, we said this last week, it always comes back to the offensive line. It could absolutely be the case, but I don't see it happening.
Texans should win because they're the better team. Texans could lose because they typically play down to their competition. Somebody said, hey, don't forget the Jets were bad too.
Yeah.
And alas, right? Honestly, Texans win because you can't, like, it's a primetime game versus the Cowboys and the whole nation's watching, and you can't lose another primetime game. You just can't.
Especially against the Cowboys.
Like,
they lost the last two primetime games.
Yes, they did.
But they won the last two primetime games against the Cowboys. Obviously, this series is 4-2 in favor of the Cowboys, but the two primetime games, including the very first one, have been won by the Texans. And just for the pride of the city of Houston, for the Texans organization, can't lose it. It just like there has to just be a point of pride for the people of Houston to get this one done.
Have to. And there's going to be a good number of Texans fans there, for sure.
Ooh, maybe that's a win because get in there and they make some noise in AT&T Stadium.
That could be a factor. I mean, how about that? You know, Texans are usually on the other end of that, where visiting fans take over your stadium. Most recently and notably, the Lions. But Texans fans are going to be able to maybe have a say in things literally at that game. One more, and I'm really reaching here, because I could not be more confident that the Texans are going to be able to get this game and get it relatively easily. But, you know, the old what-if factors. Secondary might, and we touched on this earlier, but secondary might have a couple of, you know, uh-oh moments, especially with some of the guys that are injured. You know, obviously, Lassiter's still in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
You know, who knows about the safety position? Who knows about Jalen Petrie if they try to, you know, figure out some way of getting him one-on-one with a big-time player like CeeDee Lamb. Secondary might be a bit of an issue for the Texans.
It's possible, but I don't know if it's enough of an issue to lose the game.
Right.
I think the issue then would pop up is the game is a little closer than it should be, which, again, we will have to...
That would be a problem.
We would have to have a discussion about.
Yeah.
But you guys are having fun on the 5-Hour Energy fan line and on the YouTube as well. Texans lose because Titus Howard plays defensive tackle for the Cowboys and Micah and Titus tandem can't be beat. Okay. All right, guys.
And he does no strip sacks.
That, you know...
He does. Titus does no strip sack.
That is true. Have we considered if he plays any defense? Has that ever been?
All right, no. Please no.
On the YouTube, Texans win because Bobby Slowick forgets his playbook and CJ calls the plays. All right, so again, Bobby Slowick is still going to be vital, and I get we all having fun with it. I am interested to see just how aggressive they are throwing the football and how aggressive CJ is just individually, because that's one of the things that we heard on Thursday between him and D'Amico, was just letting it rip. And so I want to see what the actual materialization of that mentality is.
Boy, if they go the other way and they know, you know, they know that they're a better team and let's not make mistakes, and they do the safe passes and they do the try to control the ball on the ground, I'm going to lose my bleep. You know, they've been talking.
Fire Bobby Slowick.
No. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that. Who knows?
Let's rock all the plays.
Maybe at some point I will. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, we're the better team. Let's just not do anything stupid. If they go down that road, I'm going to be really upset, because they've been talking about letting it rip. talking about, I just want to have fun. D'Amico even says he needs to have fun.
That's the D'Amico killer, yes. killer instinct that I was kind of alluding to earlier. Just like, and I hate to continue to compare him to the Lions because, look, they're different teams. They operate in different spheres in some ways. But there are some similarities that you see between those coaches in some ways. And I would love it if D'Amico empowered his team to just go out there and run roughshod on that team over there.
And which, let it rip.
Which actually reminded me of one of them things. Is a Texas win because that I really should have circled back on, which is that secondary over there for the Cowboys is depleted. Yeah. Let me see what this injury report is looking like again. Deron Bland is out for them. I believe Kalen Carson is out for them. Those are two cornerbacks. Sorry, no, Jordan Lewis is out for them. Kalen Carson would have to be playing opposite, rather. Trayvon Diggs, who obviously has had a lot of takeaways in his time and has been like a Pro Bowl corner and all that. But Kalen Carson's a rookie. And then I think Nashawn Wright is there, but one of them cornerbacks real deep on the depth chart would have to play the slot. Hey, man, they don't got cornerbacks for real, for real. And you got Nico Collins coming back. They should – Collins, Mechie, Tank, they should be running roughshod on them boys.
So let them run roughshod. You know, that, you know, I wish that texter hadn't texted that because I hadn't really considered that. What if they're just like, we're the better squad. Let's be conservative. Let's not do anything stupid. That would be a big problem. They need to run roughshod. Texans, and there's a lot to be said about this from the 409. Texans win because they score in the second half. We're going to be, like, I don't know which direction we're going to be talking about these things tomorrow, but we're going to be talking about the offensive line, Bobby Slowick, and the second half.
Just in general,
one way or another. Those are the three things we're going to be talking about tomorrow.
281, Texans win because Joe Mixon goes off rushing and receiving. That'll be fun to see him involved in the passing game out of the backfield. But, someone earlier was talking about Joe Mixon for 145.
All right.
And that's not out of the realm of possibility. This isn't a great Texas team when it comes to tackling and stopping all of that. But 832 says Lassiter flew with him to Dallas. So, look, man, this has a possibility of being fun, man. I'm excited for this one.
Interested on Lassiter, how if it plays out where he's able to play. I guess they listed him as limited on the Saturday practice. We'll see. I wouldn't hold out a lot of hope.
Texans win because they can't disappoint Stephen A. Smith in an opportunity to embarrass the Cowboys on national television.
Oh, he's going to be wearing that cowboy hat, mocking them
with the cigar in his hand,
cigar.
And that laugh that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other Texans win because Texas lose because?
Well, look, I think offensively, you know, you mentioned it in passing, not just Nico, but. You know, if they do anything trying to stop the Texans' offense, it's going to revolve around Nico and Joe Mixon. If they can stop Nico, let's talk about the guys that showed a little something, and that's John Mechie and Tank Dell. I think John Mechie, great follow-up opportunity here to follow it up with another big game and maybe be a big difference in why the Texans win.
Question, is there actual pressure on the Texans to win this, or is this an easy walk-in-to-win type of game from the 8-3-2? Yes. They should be able to go and get this done with the level of play that they've been putting out. But I think also there's pressure to do certain things.
I think the pressure is how they win. I think the pressure is on second half points, second half good effort. Maybe, you know, if it's a 20-17 game, that may not be good enough, you know, for us and others in terms of how the Texans win this game. No, this is... And we've used style points here and there.
I
don't know if it's style points.
You know, I always bucket the idea of style points
because
it makes it seem like it is something that is excessive or something that is like not necessary. This is about the process. This is about addressing some of the issues and proving that you have the capability of handling that
and
right?
do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
I think that's the style points. That's the win comfortably double digits, etc.
All right, Texans win because. They're just better. They're just better.
Mm-hmm.
And Texans lose because they want to make us lose our minds. That would be a concerted effort by the Texans to
because they just want to get back at us.
Right, that would be the only thing that happens there. Mm-hmm. Texans lose because somehow there's a spotlight shown through the glass at night or something.
The
like
moon
that.
Is bright.
The moon is bright. Okay. All right. Very good. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. About this time, we hand it off to the homie Figgy Fig for the mixtape. Fig, what we got?
Yeah, man. Beyonce performing at halftime during the Texans-Ravens game on Christmas. And the OG got some questions that needs answers. We'll discuss that. Plus, Mike Golick Jr. asked a very cool question, and I want to localize it with the city of Houston.
Okay. All that coming up next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on the loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone out there getting you ready for the game tonight. Texans and Cowboys. So I'm going to be locked in on that. But late last night, man, I think I might have been in the bed.
I was watching
TV just kind of scrolling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this real? I had to double check. I'm like, is this fake?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way in hell this is real. So it came across, I think the Houston Texans tweeted this and said, Beyonce will perform at the halftime show on Christmas Day, Texans Ravens. And it will be on Netflix. And I know we just had the conversation about Netflix and the Jake Paul fight.
$65 million at its peak.
And a lot of people, I think probably about 50 million of those people was complaining.
That's correct, because they couldn't see it.
So Lopez, we was talking before the show. Lopez had a couple questions.
I got questions for you,
Figgy. So I'm going to clear it out and let you distribute.
All right. So
where were you on the night? Oh, my bad.
Yes. Look. Okay, so first, let's start with the beginning. You said it was 10:19 p.m., and the reason I know that is because I actually got a text at the same time from the Texans. I'm sure you did, too.
I did, and which is funny. Yeah. It happened immediately after I saw the Houston
tweet
Texans
first?
Tweet happen.
Yeah,
I just happened to be looking at it. I saw the tweet as it happened. I was like, Beyonce?
Yeah, no, I got a text from the Texans, and I went, wait, what? 10:19 p.m.? Why 10:19 p.m. when you can really maybe milk this, for lack of a better way to put it, you know, to get more, you know, a bigger, you know, splash, you know, so to speak. Why 10:19 p.m.?
I wonder, I probably ask y'all this question. Do you think that the Netflix event the prior night before has something to do, anything to do with this?
It's with the timing of the release.
Because I wonder if this was a thing where Netflix like, hey, we putting this out there.
I don't know.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like this would be too long in the making for that to kind of come together like that. I feel like it might have been.
Oh, she already had imaging. She had the picture with the cowboy hat.
That's
and all
exactly
that stuff.
The point. I feel like she agreed to sign. Well, no, because then they already had all the imaging. Mm-hmm. I was like, she agreed to sign on, and then it was like, let everybody know right now.
Yeah, they had everything ready. So I'm just wondering if Netflix, and I don't even know if this is a good thing, but they tried to capitalize off of the fight. So we gonna keep.
But
our
at
foot
that
on
point,
people.
You would think it would be like 9 a.m. or something, or the next day.
I would have probably waited to Monday morning. So I'm sure the Texans probably would have waited to Monday, probably teased it a little bit.
I only have one theory on this, why it was 10:19 p.m. They got word that someone was going to break it, and they didn't want someone to break the news. So they said, screw it, let's just announce it tonight.
So
you
think the Houston Texans decided to break this?
Either the Texans or Netflix or somebody. Because that happens a lot of times. Like, hey, so-and-so got this story. Well, screw it then, let's just announce it now. You know, they might have been waiting. That's my only theory. But you mentioned Netflix, and that leads to another question I have for you, Figgy. Is it going to crash again? Like, this was bad. And it was 60 to 65 million at the peak, but there's going to be 20 million.
Yeah, so typically these games get around 20, 25 million, these kind of Christmas day football games,
and
whatever.
And the Beyonce factor is going to take it even higher.
That's the thing, right? Like, I was like, with people that were reacting during the course of the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight, they were like, oh man, this doesn't bode well for these, you know, these Christmas games that are going to happen. I was like, I don't know that you're going to have the same load on them, because I don't know that, you know, Netflix could have anticipated that it would be that big of an event.
Yeah.
But if there's one thing that's going to come along, there's a lot of people who don't give a damn about no Texans or no Ravens that are going to be tuning in at halftime.
Yeah.
And so they're going to need to be ready for that particular, amount of people that are going to jump in on it. I think that they know now, though, that that is a possibility that they're going to need bigger, more servers or whatever actually the technical aspect of particulars of that are.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think the halftime show itself could potentially crash. I think that part could crash. I don't think
that's worse.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think any part of the game, like, I don't think we're going to be watching the game and it's going to start buffering or anything like that. I think a lot of people will be watching the game, but them Beehive, the Beehive, they coming in for halftime.
Correct.
They don't give a damn about the Texans. They don't give a damn about the Ravens. So they coming in. They probably come in probably towards the end of the first half, maybe to try to get ready.
If
so
it does crash.
I think that could, because I think the Tyson fight, I think it was okay up until it started getting towards game time.
For the most part, there was some crashes in the undercard.
Yeah, I was watching pretty much the whole time, and it didn't start giving me problems until the intros.
If it does crash, how does this bode for the Netflix live event, you know, initiative? I think it hurts it a lot.
It'll keep going. You want to know why? Because it make everybody money.
Yeah.
It'll keep going. They'll get better as it goes. It's just one of those things where we've moved into an era in our world where it used to be that you got everything figured out and then you rolled it out.
Yeah.
And now people are all right with just like, hey, man, we'll get it figured out as we go. But y'all going to keep coming regardless.
I think that happened a couple times with Netflix. They had the live comedy show. I think Dave Chappelle was the first one to do it. Either Dave Chappelle or Chris Rock.
I thought it was Chris Rock.
I think it might have been. Yeah, I think it was Chris Rock, the first one. And that gave a lot of problems. A lot of people was complaining about it. But they just kept going with it. So I think this is going to be a test right here.
I got another couple questions for you guys.
Okay.
Now, the NFL only has 12-minute halftimes. From the moment the final whistle of the first half, you know, sounds or whatever, the clock hits zero, until the second half, it's 12 minutes. They have to extend that. I actually did some searches on it this morning. It can't be a 12-minute halftime for Beyonce. With the production value and getting it all together, they got to extend that, right? Can they do that?
I think, honestly, if they can, I think this would be strictly because of Netflix. I think Netflix probably maybe paid a little extra or something like that to maybe get 15. I don't think it'd be like a half.
No,
like
it won't be a half hour, but.
Yeah, but I think maybe they might stretch it to like 15.
Yeah, that's what I can see. And I'm trying to remember the Christmas Day game. It's only the two of them, ain't it?
Was it the Cowboys game on Christmas when Dolly Parton sang, or was that Thanksgiving?
That was Thanksgiving.
That was Thanksgiving.
That was. I felt like that was extended, but I don't remember. I kept trying to find it.
And that's a great question that I wish I recalled in this very moment.
Yeah.
But the Christmas Day games, it's two of them, and you start at 3:30. I think that they might have the benefit of being able to, and there's not a game after it, so you're not wondering, you know, worrying about what the next window is. I think they might expand it out to at least 15.
All right, one more for you, Figgy and Reggie. She's notorious, Beyonce, for bringing on people with her. Now, she's going to be singing, according to reports, the first live songs off the Cowboy Carter album, and she was wearing the cowboy hat and the imaging and all that stuff, so it stands to reason. Who shows up? Post Malone was on that album? Miley Cyrus was on that album? Or does she go full H-Town, bring back Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams and go that route?
I don't know. That might break the internet overall.
Yeah.
A Destiny Child reunion?
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not one to put Beyonce's performances into a box, so I don't know like where she, because this is something that she does and she really focuses on. But I have a feeling that she's going to launch like some Cowboy Carter related, or at least I think there was like something about like Act Two continues or whatever. I feel like she'll lean into the Cowboy Carter of it all. And it's not that much time if we're really being honest. 12 to 15. So
I see her.
Maybe she'll bring somebody out, but I could easily see it just being a Beyonce fest.
Yeah, I see her doing maybe two songs from that album, and obviously the two songs that have been on the radio for a little bit. So I can see that happening.
Yeah.
I
really don't want to hear 16 carriages on the field.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Or what's the other one?
Actually, I forgot. I broke my rule. I do not. I'm sorry.
You want to hear?
Can we dump
over?
That? Can we dump that? Because I do not like saying anything vaguely negative about Beyonce over there.
Yeah. I think she's gonna try to lean into that album for some reason. Maybe she have a tour coming.
Yeah.
And that could be something she announced after the performance, but. For some reason, I always connect. This is a wild card for me, but I connect her with Roc Nation. Mm-hmm. And who manages Megan Thee Stallion? Roc Nation.
So you think Megan Thee Stallion?
Where's Megan Thee Stallion from?
They pull off Savage or something. Yeah. I can see the remix.
Yeah, that's my wild card. Mm-hmm. I can see something like that.
Okay. Those are the questions about Beyonce.
Y'all did a good job.
Very good. All right, we continue to hand it back to Fig for the mixtape.
So remember what happened here in Houston with the Bills game and how they were about to kick a field goal, and this happened courtesy of KHOU.
I don't know what you do with it, but you keep kicking like that, you can monetize it a lot of ways.
Yep, trademark, branding.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. I'm meteorologist Tim Pandages here at the KHOU 11 Weather Center. I want to cut in this afternoon here at 2:43 to let you know that we have a tornado warning that was just...
So, not even a real tornado.
Remember we were so upset about this?
Oh, the worst.
Yeah, we was glued to that. I think it was Bills and Lions, and somebody's about to line up for a field goal, and they just cut in because of a tornado warning, which I don't think it really affected a lot of people around here.
No.
It might have been a little further away.
Mm-hmm.
But something like this happened in Phoenix. So Phoenix were watching the Sunday Night Football last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is 10 times worse than what happened here in Houston. But this is how it sounded when they were watching Sunday Night Football in Phoenix.
Under the ball, and this game ends with a field goal attempt or a touchdown on the last play.
Burrow fires, punt. Good job, stay in bounds by Higgins.
What is this?
What happened?
When people ask me what the Patriotic Kenny platform's all about, I say it's about giving back.
It went to commercial break, man.
Was that a political commercial somehow?
Somewhat. I wasn't quite sure. It seemed like it was.
But in the middle of the play?
It was in the middle of the play. T. Higgins was hitting circle X. He was juking people. And they went right to a commercial, man.
No, that is worse.
That is worse.
Way worse.
Like, as much as I didn't like it when it happened here, I kind of understand where they were going with, you know, we got to let the people know in Houston some bad weather coming. But you go to a commercial, man, I would have been so upset.
I also realized that this is something that I have as a deficiency in my get down, which is that I never remember which is the one that's imminent, which is watch versus warning. Mm-hmm. And I had to look it up.
Watch is it's possible. Warning means it's happening.
See, apparently everybody else knows.
Yeah.
And so when I got mad, I was like, it was tornado warning. And actually, I shouldn't be mad because tornado warning means that, hey, man, y'all need to be careful out here. It's really going down. So my bad.
I think our beef was they should have put like a double screen or something like that and should have let the game, because the game was coming down to the wire.
Meteorologists.
And they just totally took it off.
Breaking into shows, though.
Yeah.
They love breaking into shows.
Yeah.
And I love y'all. I got a bunch of friends that are meteorologists, but boy, they love
All right, Stephen A. Smith.
We got something.
He's like a brother to me.
I have dinner personally with all the meteorologists.
Yeah, well, I thought that was crazy right there. So I ran across this tweet, and somebody tweeted this. First, I'm going to play this audio. This was Sunday Night Football. They were showing the Hollywood. I think it was like a Hollywood arena.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it sounded, first of all.
If you look at the famed and spectacular Hollywood Bowl, where you're placed to see all different genres of artists up here.
So they were showing the Hollywood arena, some type of Hollywood arena where a lot of people go and all that stuff. And somebody tweeted this. Somebody said, NBC, finally listen to me. Stop showing the tired Santa Monica Pier and instead show a proper L.A. landmark.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of got me thinking, too. Mike Golick actually responded to this tweet. And he said, if you could have them show you one landmark from your city, what would it be?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like here at NRG, we're going to be at that Christmas game. A lot of people going to be watching. So what landmark would you want to show in
the
city?
What do they typically show?
They usually show NRG.
They show NRG. A lot of times they'll show the Galleria area.
Really?
I've seen that a few times.
Like, what's that one landmark where you gotta be like, oh, let's show or this part of Houston?
Sometimes
they always show somebody milking some cows.
Sometimes they go down to NASA.
Yeah,
they'll show NASA, which obviously is not Houston, but it's kind of Houston. What would it be?
Every once in a while, you'll see the
they show a lot of cowboys.
Yeah,
which is bizarre.
I feel it'd be weird showing like downtown through the like with the someone.
That's what it should be.
Right.
That's what it should be. Should they
kind of scroll through Edo or something like that?
Maybe Edo, but I think the Be Someone sign, you're onto something. And it's very unique and something, and they would have to explain it. You know,
yeah, but I don't love the opportunity that would present to the rest of the nation to try and clown us behind, like, oh, well, your favorite thing is... I'm not trying to hear that nonsense. Yeah,
graffiti!
I'm kind of curious because I felt like they only... the main thing they do show is in the stadium, obviously, from the aerial view. But I'm like, dang, if they out and about, they usually, you know, come back and be like, oh, this is downtown where the so-and-so used to be. And I wonder, what's that landmark here?
I'm trying to place myself in a place where, like, when I'm, let's say I'm driving back to Houston, what do I see that says, back in Houston?
The Astrodome.
Not the Astrodome.
I remember. Oh,
why are you trying to call them all sides?
Wait a minute. That's still there?
Sometimes Williams Tower. What's it called now? Whatever it is.
No, it's Williams Tower.
Is it still Williams Tower?
Yeah.
That always says, okay.
I went there when I was a kid. It's still up.
Someone said that the water wall is what they typically show. Somebody said, show Timmy Chan. They do show Kima Boardwalk sometimes, which is weird.
Yeah, they go down. Yeah. That's because they're already down there for NASA.
San Jacinto Monument.
They show that too. I would say, like, but Williams Tower is just one little thing.
That's just a building. Yeah.
It really is tough. Like, Houston.
They show the skyline a lot, which is really nice. The skyline's a great skyline.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a lot.
Maybe that Ferris wheel downtown by the aquarium.
Yeah.
Yeah, the downtown aquarium was definitely one that some people came up with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I don't know there's a lot of places, like, within the city proper, I guess, that people think of outside of the city and that is like instantly recognizable.
Yeah.
Which is kind of tough, but like there's a lot of things that mean stuff to us that I feel like you put on national TV that they don't really move them folks.
I think what I noticed too about other cities, if they have like a food that they're only known for, they usually get a shot of the food in a restaurant
or something like that.
Yeah, that would be a good, I think that would be good just showing, you know, the barbecue or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we answered the question. Somebody said show the Marriott Marquis pool, like the Texas-shaped pool.
Oh, the Texas?
I think that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. That's the mixtape. You catch it right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610 at 120 every weekday. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to an abbreviated version of The Drive as they'll lead you into Texans pregame. But before we get there, go ahead and put it on wax. Give your predictions. And you know what? Let's have real fun with it. Get spicy with it. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.
Thank you, Figgy.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, hope your pre-action Monday has been going well as we are gearing up for Texans, Cowboys, Monday Night Football. It's a different day than Sunday. then you'll hear that right here on Sports Radio 610 with the best crew that you could possibly have in football. You'll have Vandermeer, you'll have Ware, you'll have Harris taking you through what should be a big-time victory against the Texans. Although maybe you disagree, as let us know on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Who are you predicting and what are your predictions, and get fun with it as well. Although we were talking a little bit in the mixtape about what are the things that you would like to see these national broadcasts, you know, kind of use as the symbol of your city or like image with your city.
We're getting a lot.
And we've got a lot of people that were either talking about things that they use. They do show that We Love Houston sign a lot. That was a good point. But a lot of people talking about the San Jacinto Monument, Discovery Green. Someone said if you'd go inside a Museum of Science is one of those. And then somebody said Sam Houston statue at Herman Park. And 832 mentioned, how about the Ship Channel?
The Ship Channel is not one they show a lot.
It's not.
That would be sweet.
That would be interesting. Yeah. So that was fun. And then I did laugh at this one. Somebody was like, hey, bring back Astroworld, and there you go.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, just bring back Astroworld for my benefit. my grown self would be in there like a child.
Stop it.
The land that the Astroworld was on is still there. You could just put it back.
You know what? Maybe they should show the Astrodome. So more people would be like, okay. What?
All right. So predictions.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Wow. I used to go. I know it was still up.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at all those rats and cats.
That's exactly what my mother-in-law said. She said, is that the Astrodome?
Oh, no.
I went there when I was younger.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know it was still up.
They closed it a week after you left.
And then Owen Tomball says, show John Lopez's house. That was a monument. All right.
Let's not far from the be someone sign.
Okay. You want somebody to pull up to you, huh?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I didn't say in which direction.
Yeah, fair enough. They're going to step to you as a man.
All right, what are the things you're predicting in this contest? As the Sioux 1 hits us up, it says, surprised y'all have the confidence that this team can blow out the Cowboys. We have not seen anything to lead me to believe that they're good enough to blow anyone out. And, okay, I feel you on that. Some of it is, it's like part confidence, part hope of expectation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we have seen them show bits and pieces of being able to do that, even without going too far back. We could just look at the first half against the Lions and seeing the ways that they're doing that. Plus, don't forget, Nico Collins returns. And when Nico Collins was here, 100 yards receiving and a touchdown was easy money.
Was
right?
Given.
Like, yeah, you could do that. Not only was that there, then, you know, other people could eat off of it. Joe Mixon, outside of one game where mm-hmm. he has played and finished, you know, 100 yards and a touchdown. I don't know that that is necessarily something that you can expect every time, but it feels very much like that's the case. With he's done it a lot. Now, are they going to be able to run block with this iteration of the line? Because last week they weren't able to. Maybe, but again, so much of this deals with the fact that that Cowboys defense, that Cowboys team in general, lines up so well at those things that you're not certain about, they're not good at. Maybe it's just kind of, this is the runway for you to do those things well. Yeah. And if you can't, then we know for damn certain that you can't, but you should be able to do these things well. And all those things should add up to, with your team being better, with all of these, you know, with the nice overlapping of those things that we discussed, you should put up big points.
Yes, and I agree with you on that. But I think the majority of my confidence is with the fact that the one constant with this team has been defense. And sure, you know, the Lions, you know, came on in the second half. That was the Detroit Lions. These are not the Detroit Lions that you're facing.
What?
These are not the Detroit
Lions. Are you for real?
That you're facing. So the one constant is, like, I feel like even if they just sort of, you know, methodically score, let's say, you know, 17 points in the first half and another 17 in the second half, that's a huge win. That'll be 34-7 or 34-6 or something, because I think the defense is going to be able to keep that gap, you know, and make it a convincing win for the Texans. Even if, like you say, like, well, I wish they could have been more explosive offensively, but they just kind of went about their business and pushed it in the end zone, both in the second half, which is important, and the first half. I'll take 34-6. That's my prediction.
34-6 is where you're going? Mm-hmm. All right, that's your normal prediction. You still got to come with something wild. my prediction is 41-6 because I have three turnovers,
okay,
one that goes for a touchdown. So defensive touchdown,
and they've been doing a lot of that. Well, a lot of turnovers.
Yeah. I'm thinking Kalen Bullock pick six or something to that, or maybe even like Jalen Petrie pick six or something like that. I think that is the thing that I'm looking forward to, is seeing Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, Mario Edwards in returning, get after Cooper Rush, and maybe seeing, especially since when he throws the football, I don't know if there's, maybe I need to go and see if I can find like the ball speed or whatever, but it feels like that ball just takes forever to get there. Mm-hmm. And I think that an aggressive Texas defense can jump in front of one of those and maybe take it the other way.
Let me make a bet with you. I know you're not a betting man, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Figure you too. Second half points by the Texans, offensive or defensive.
Ooh, somebody going Lassiter.
Second half points by the Texans, 16.5.
Over under?
Yeah.
I'm going under, man.
That's a loss there. They got in terms of opinion.
My head says under, but you know what? Bleep it.
Yeah.
Over, baby.
Yeah.
I think you wear they
it's
asses
total
out.
Points by the Texans, offense and defense, 16.5. You're going over. Figure you're going
and
under.
And that's, you know why I'm that's also under. Reckless? It's 41.5 over under in this game. So like the Vegas odds makers, who are usually pretty good at these things, believe this to not be a huge point getting extravaganza. Mm-hmm. Although I wonder how much of that is looking at the Cowboys and being like, they're not bringing anything to the party. Mm-hmm. Like they are not adding into the group project here. So Texans, it's all you. Can you score 41 by your lonesome? Which I tend to believe they can.
What if I said 10.5?
I already went.
You're
with
already
the over.
Going over, Figgy.
I will say 10.5.
They'll go over. Man. The second half is so important in this game.
Yeah, they got to show me something. And at some point, I feel like they'd be a little conservative, man.
Yeah.
Where I feel like they ain't even trying to they ain't even trying to get in the end zone. Like, they setting up for a field goal.
Yeah. Oh, so for sure. That's been a big complaint.
Yeah, I don't trust that.
Yeah.
Nobody's gotten super bold with, I mean, the number is 35-13, although there's some people that are saying that don't have a lot of faith. 24-17 Cowboys, which, okay, interesting. 24-6 Texans, that's a shorter odds. 713 said, screw Vegas, Texas will put up 30. I like what you're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
832 says, a Kamari Lassiter touchdown. Okay, there we go. Put some boldness on the table
here. I'd
be
good with that.
And the 832 asks, why are we getting cocky? Stop. Dallas is not a slouch. Go Texans, but... By that much, I'm guessing they mean like very little. Shout out to Ernesto
and Dallas is a slouch.
This year, especially without the quarterback of the team, the QB1 on this team, it has not looked particularly good. No. 713 says Davis Mills finishes this game taking knees in the victory formation.
All right.
Davis Mills might finish this game throwing the football. In fact, that might be the bowl when Davis Mills throws one. Davis Mills throws a touchdown.
He gets a touchdown in?
Yeah, we getting real. I don't even know how spicy that one is, but we're doing it. Davis Mills gets in and throws one. How about that? That's one of the predictions. Any other things you want to predict in here?
Look, man, I'm still hung up on that second half points. Like to me, the game's going to start at halftime. And so my bold prediction is, yes, they're going to go over. I want to ask Ron and Clint this, what I asked you when they get settled in. But they've got to score 16, 17 points.
Yeah, see, this is the boldness I was asking for. 3, 4, 6, 50 ball. Yeah.
A 50
I like
ball.
That. I might, that might be a little far, but it ain't a 50 ball. Yeah. Let's go with that. As we about to welcome in the fellas on a little bit of a sprint today, heading into Texans football. We got Clint.
Talk fast.
We got Ron. No, talk your normal speed.
Hey, talk fast.
Hey, especially you, Clint. You got a late night.
I ain't got it in me. Clint
still got a late night, baby. But yeah, you wanted to ask these boys about the second half because the second half is going to be so much of our focus when it comes to, you know, Bobby Slowick and this offense. If they can kind of, you know,
Let me exercise
those demons.
So, to me, the game doesn't start until halftime because of what we're looking at with this offense and having to score in the second half. Over, under on Texans points, that's offense and defense, in the second half, 16.5. You going over or you going
it's
under?
It's three scores. I'd go under.
Damn.
Yeah, that's aggressive. I'd go under. But I mean,
everybody's scoring 40 and 50 on these cats.
They should probably be up by 20.
But they know the story about the second half, too.
Well, yeah, they know the story of it. But I mean, if it's like, to me, if this feels like a 24-3 game at the half.
Oh, at the half. Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's what it feels like to me. And in the second half, man, you got a defensive coach that's trying to get, let's just get up out of here.
And they need to score some points in the second half.
I'm saying they're not going to try to score.
I mean, I understand where everybody wanted to go out there and Detroit these boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't know. Again, I mean, we've got to take everything into consideration that we know about this football team. I mean, this team has not been able to protect the quarterback against any and everybody that they played.
Yeah.
And to go in there and act as if you're the almighty and all of a sudden that problem isn't going to exist in this football game is – I think a step in the wrong direction. And so, I just hope they go in there and just, this should be a slowly creep away from a bad football team.
Mm-hmm.
Just slowly put them to sleep in the second half. I mean, what I don't want to, you know, reason I would take the under more specifically to your question is I agree with Ron. I think that Cowboy offense is going to have a hard time moving the football. And it would be reckless for the Texans to go out there and be super aggressive.
And the Texans are probably going to run the ball.
Yeah.
Pretty effectively, which takes time.
That is fair.
Could be the way to a bunch of points, but I don't know. I don't know, man. I want the Texans to do against the Cowboys because I agree with Ron. I think they're going to beat them pretty handily. But I want them to do against the Cowboys what they're going to have to do to beat better football teams moving forward.
Yes,
and you know that is be smart.
Mm-hmm.
That is be smart and don't go out there and Dallas Cowboy this thing. let Dak Prescott throw for 450 yards and turn like the world on fire and then get to the playoffs and can't piss a drop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's ugly. So yeah. let's just do what your identity is going to be moving forward, which is a lot of what we saw against Detroit.
Y'all came in here responsible with measure takes, and I appreciate that. But I was looking for reckless. You got a little reckless in there? Can you give me a little reckless?
We had nine weeks of reckless.
They're going to beat the brakes off of them. I don't know if they're going to go 50.
But they should absolutely be in the 30s.
This feels like a clean, like 34 to 10. 34 to 9. I don't think they're going to score touchdowns. But that kicker,
I said when he's not on Aubrey.
When he's not on jury duty, he's got a chance. So
I didn't even go and check and see how that case turned out.
34 to 6, man. Y'all are scaring me, man.
Why?
I'm confident. Well, it's just one of those that, and a lot has to do with where my mind's at, too. I mean, I've had more like bets or games bite me in the ass. Like, I feel too good about this one.
Yeah. That's fair.
I feel so good, I want to put a house note on it.
That's fair.
And I've lost more house notes than I've won. I promise you that.
All right, well, fellas, y'all have a fun little sprint to Texans football. We're done here in the loop. We'll be back tomorrow for a Reaction Tuesday, and we'll be live at Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands. Come out and see us, and it'll also be a Texans Ticket Tuesday, so it's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get there, Texans got to handle business tonight. These fellas will lead you up to it. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station, and right now, The Drive is live.